You'll find your text in Colossians chapter 2. The title of my message is Overflowing with Thanksgiving. So let's stand and we'll just read our text. As most of you know, our year is coming to a close and our theme for the year has been rooted. And we have taken it from the text that I want to read to you tonight. But I want you to see that there is an element of thanksgiving in the idea of being rooted. It says in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So there's the foundation. I mean, that's the soil that the root is clinging to. He says, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. He has a little mixed metaphor there of agriculture and architecture. And we have used that word rooted this year as our theme. But he says, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, notice this, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So I want to talk to you, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I want to speak to you about overflowing with thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, it's been so good to be in your house with your people. Thank you for letting us laugh and testify and rejoice in how good you are to us. And I pray that our lives would be lives that just overflow with thanksgiving. And I pray that you would, again, help us to leave here a little bit more grateful than when we came. And may that gratitude continue in our lives and certainly through the remainder of the holiday. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Appreciate you standing. I want to tell you a funny story. It's a true story that happened to me this week. I was just trying to plan and prepare for the message, and this came to mind. I was meeting with Mr. Gross this week and going over a few things that I wanted to mention to him, and we were just walking through some administrative things that we needed to touch base about. And one of the things that I mentioned to him is I said, hey, as we're getting ready to have having the play here in our auditorium, as you give announcements, I'd appreciate it if you just maybe announce not to bring food and drink into the auditorium. Just remind everybody that this is our where we worship, and you know. And by the way, you know, I'm saying that again. We try not to bring food and drink into the auditorium. And here's the big reason why: is the adults are like, no, man, I won't spill it. And yes, you do. You do quite often, actually. I was in the auditorium myself this week, cleaning stains off of the carpet that looked like coffee spills and et cetera. But anyway, I digress. I said, Mr. Gross, would you mind making that public announcement? And he, of course, was compliant and willing to do that. But while I was talking to him about that subject, he had a Starbucks coffee in his hand, and he kind of did something with the lid, and it spilled and plopped on him, and it's all over while we were talking about that. And I said, see, you all think you're not going to do it, but you do it, you know? And he was like, yeah, I know. So, but that illustration came to mind because I have a question for you. What spills out of you when you are squeezed? What is it that spills out of you when you are bumped into? I mean, you got a cup of coffee in your hand, you got the pressure on it, and you pop the top and it causes it to cave in. Well, if you got coffee or whatever latte you got going on in there, I mean, you squeeze it, it comes out, right? If you're holding a cup of coffee, I've been talking to people that had a cup of coffee in there going like this. Like, you're like, man, that's going to spill any second. When you're bumped into, what spills out of your life? Just think about it. If you're filled with bitterness, when you get squeezed, you know what's going to come out? Bitterness. If you're filled with envy or anger or ingratitude, I mean, when you get squeezed and you get bumped into, that's what's going to spill out. But if you are filled with love, when life squeezes you, when somebody bumps into you, love is going to come out. If you're filled with kindness, that's what's going to come out. And certainly tonight I'm mentioning to you, if our lives are filled with gratitude, if that's what's filling us, then that's what's going to spill out when we're squeezed and spill over when we're bumped into. And if you're filled with gratitude, it's not really going to take that much of a bump or a squeeze for that to come out. Here in our text, Colossians 2:7 says that a person who is rooted, a person that's been built up in their faith, says they should be abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, that word abounding is where we get this idea of overflowing. It literally means to exceed in number or measure. That's why I'm using that word overflowing. In fact, I'll give you a Bible example of that word in John chapter 6. That's where we find the feeding of the 5,000. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, I want you to gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And so here's the first example in the Bible of leftovers, you know, and Jesus had a bunch of leftovers at that feeding. And when he said that, the fragments that remain, that's that word abounding. And so it's this spillage, this leftover, this surplus. Well, in life, we need to have Thanksgiving. I think we all recognize that. That's why I like this holiday. My wife and I were talking about it. I know that the commercialization of Christmas has just overtaken Thanksgiving. It's almost as kind of a bygone holiday anymore. But think about it. I like the fact that Thanksgiving doesn't have a lot of thrills and frills. And I like the fact that Thanksgiving really has a strong faith component to it. But again, what I'm saying is we know that we're going to have on this holiday a time of Thanksgiving, but we want to not just have Thanksgiving. We want to have more Thanksgiving ready to go. I mean, an overflowing of Thanksgiving. Again, in this book, the letter to the church at Colossae in Colossians, Paul doesn't just mention Thanksgiving in this verse alone. No, he says it multiple times. In chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father. Chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be ye thankful. In chapter 3 and verse 17, he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. In chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. He talks frequently how thanksgiving is to be a part of the life of somebody that is rooted in Christ. You see, we saw in verse 6 that the root system of gratitude is going to come from and extend from our salvation. Every year in our testimony video, I hope you don't get tired of that, but we ask people, how'd you get saved? Because that's the root system. That's what's feeding and fueling our gratitude. And we need to be reminded of that, that there's so much in life to be thankful for, but we're thankful first and foremost because we have a restored relationship with God, the created Father, through Jesus Christ and His salvation work. In fact, we see in the Bible that ingratitude is one of the marks of an unbeliever. So we see that gratitude is one of the hallmarks of a rooted believer, but ingratitude is one of the marks of an unbeliever. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Now, that's interesting that in that list of all of these degradations and sins that he makes that emphasis in that ingratitude is a tremendous hallmark of somebody that's not a believer. You know, even if you go to secular research, it shows that gratitude is a positive factor in life. Did you know that scientific research, I'm just talking about from secular research, will testify that gratitude, being a thankful person, will improve your physical health. It'll improve your sleep. It'll improve your mental health. It'll improve and increase empathy in your life. It reduces aggression. It helps you make more social connections. There are so many things that gratitude and thankfulness does for you on a personal level. So I want to give you tonight just some quick thoughts, some practical thoughts. What are some steps we can take so our lives will overflow with thanksgiving? What are some steps? And so I'm going to give you three steps to take in order to have an overflow of thanksgiving. Number one, start with the heart. Start with the heart. Thanksgiving is so much more than just saying thank you. It's a condition of the heart. Now listen, I think if you're raising kids, you ought to teach your kids to say thank you. I mean, we all do this with our kids, right? I mean, even when they're little itty bitty, somebody will do something for them and you say, what do you say? And a lot of times they go, or they're mine, give it to me. You know, no, that's not what you say. And you have to really teach them. And you can train your kids to say thank you, and you can teach them to do that, and you should. And you can make, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, you can make your kids say thank you. You can do that. But what you cannot do is make their heart grateful. That's something you cannot do. But we recognize here that a heart that is rooted in thankfulness does cultivate that. And they recognize that God is always working. He's always working. And as you grow as a Christian, what will happen is your heart will begin to overflow with thanksgiving. What does that look like? Well, I'll say a couple of things practically. What will happen is you will thank God for the big things and the little things. Listen, I hope that you've gotten to that place in your Christian life where, yeah, sure, if you, man, if I don't know who does this in the world. It doesn't happen in the world I live in, and I don't think it happens in the world you live in, but you start seeing all these car commercials for Mercedes-Benz and Lexus and all these fancy cars. And somebody, you know, some little kid is there going, oh, I just want a Lexus XL600 for Christmas. And, you know, they're 9 years old and they pull out the curtains and there it is in the driveway with all these huge bows on it. And they think, oh, I got the car that I wanted. Who at 9 asked for a Lexus? I don't know. And who at 9 gets a Lexus? I don't know. But my point is sure, if somebody gave you the keys to a brand new Mercedes-Benz, I think you would thank God for the big things. I hope you would. Maybe it's not material things, but maybe we talk tonight, man, I thank God that I'm saved. I'm being serious. I'm thankful that of all the billions of people on this planet, that God found me and God reached out to me and God convicted my heart and by His grace I respond. Why me? Man, praise God for the big things in my life. Boy, we all ought to testify. But what about the little things in your life? I mean, I hope that you stop periodically and think in the last 24 hours, man, God did this for me. God blessed me this way. I mean, this is a little thing, but man, I sure see the... See, when a heart's overflowing with gratitude, it sees... Yeah, sure, it recognizes the big things, but we praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? Here's another thought about a heart that overflows with thanksgiving. You thank God for the sunrises and the sunsets. And I'm speaking metaphorically there. You know, I mean, praise God for when something good comes in your life. And man, sometimes we got to praise God even when something good leaves your life. Isn't that what Job said? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Man, that's a heart that's overflowing with gratitude. He's got gratitude and thanksgiving to spare. Here's another thought. You thank God for those who are a blessing to you, and you thank God for those that are a burden to you. How many know that everybody's a blessing, to be honest with you? Some are a blessing when they come, and some are a blessing when they go. Some of you will experience that on Thursday. You're like, hey, glad they left, you know. But the truth of the matter is if we're being mature enough, we recognize that even the people that are a bother to us in our life, even the people that are a burden to us in our life, really that's a gift from God. You know that some difficult people in your life are put in your life to help shave off the rough edges, give you some of the graces that you need that you wouldn't develop otherwise. But I'm just telling you, somebody, it's just in there and it's going to spill over. They just thank God for the good and the bad. Here's another thought. You thank God when you have a little and you thank God when you have a lot. That's a heart that's overflowing. Here's my last thought. You thank God for what you have and you don't complain about what you don't have. You know, I was thinking about this. As you get older, I mean, man, you think, well, it's easy as you get older. Man, I can't run like I used to. And man, my memory doesn't work like it once did. And man, I can't bend my fingers like they once did. Man, I can't do this and I can't do that. Hey, listen, a heart that's overflowing with gratitude says, hey, I may be old, but I just thank God for the years He's given me. George Herbert once prayed this, O Thou who hast given us so much, mercifully grant us one more thing. A grateful heart. A grateful heart. If you want to have a life that overflows with thanksgiving, number one, start with the heart. Number two, move to the mouth. Move to the mouth. I heard a fictitious story of a man who was known to complain. He would gripe about just about everything. He'd gripe. And a lot of times he'd gripe about the food that they were about to eat, you know, is what the wife was making for dinner, and she'd be in there in the kitchen bringing it in. He'd be sitting there going, oh, man, not this again. He's just a grumbler and complainer. And of course, he was sitting there at the table, and when they were getting ready to eat, he wanted to pray. And so after he was done praying for the meal, his daughter said, Daddy, does God hear us when we pray? And he said, of course. He hears us every time we pray. He was kind of proud of himself for teaching his daughter these spiritual lessons. And she said, but does He hear everything we say when we're not praying? And she said, of course He does. Yeah, He hears every word. And he's kind of proud of himself for this teaching moment. And then she looked at him and said, well, then which words does He believe? Does He believe the words before the prayer or the words in the prayer? And that's a good question, isn't it? It may seem obvious, but we know what we are overflowing with by what we examine about what comes out of our mouth. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus said so, didn't He? He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we ask ourselves the question, what's coming out of my mouth? Profanity or praise? What's coming out of my mouth? Compliments or complaints? I mean, what is spilling out? I mean, think about it. People love to talk about all kinds of things, don't they? We love to talk about sports, man. I mean, you get some of us going about sports. Well, we'll talk about who did this and who's ranked this and how's it going to happen. Did you see who beat who and who's coming up and who's going to make it in the playoff? We want to talk about sports and basketball starting. And did you see? And man, we can get going on that. Some of us love to talk about politics. I'm kind of glad that's passed a little bit, to be honest. But, I mean, some boy, you can't wait to get out of here and you're going to go watch Fox News and talk about who was appointed to this cabinet and who's going to do this. Man, I can't wait for this. And, man, we're going to see this in the next life. And some of you just want to talk about politics all the time. Some, you get them talking about their kids or their grandkids. You know, I've told you that story before. It's a true story. Somebody came up to Winston Churchill and said, Sir Winston, have I told you about my grandson? And he said, no, sir, you have not. And I thank you for it. Some people just love talking about their kids. I mean, I'll do that. You want to get me going? Ask about my kids. I'll start talking to you about it and telling you what's going on in their lives. Some people love to talk about their stuff. You know what I got? Did you see what I got? You know what I'm getting? Man, did you see my house? Oh, I decorated this way. And they love to talk about their stuff. Hey, some people, you can get them talking. They'll just talk about themselves. I mean, you ever been in a conversation like that? You just say one thing about them and boy, they're off to the races and you ain't going to get out for a while. We all like to talk about something. The list is endless. But whatever they are talking about, no matter if it's sports or politics or their kids or grandkids, they're talking about it because it's of interest to them. It may not be of interest to the person that's listening. Sometimes it's not. But it's of interest to them. And I want to ask you a question now tonight. How much do you like to talk about all the good things God has done in your life? I mean, do you like to talk about how gracious God has been? How merciful God has been? How God is blessed? I'm not talking about some pretense, you know, hashtag blessed. A lot of times that garbage is pretense and you know it. But I'm just talking about, I mean, genuine, it just spills out. My heart is overwhelmed at how good God has been to me. See, I'm just telling you tonight, if it starts with the heart, it's inevitably going to move to the mouth. So what I'm saying tonight is this: if God has really blessed you and you truly are thankful, then you need to say it. Amen. Isn't that what the Bible says? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? We need to say it. Hey, here's another thought. Not only does it need to come out of our mouth just in words, hey, I just want to thank God for how good He is. Hey, I just want to tell you how God's blessed me and how God's been such a gracious Father to me, but we ought to sing it too. And I know sometimes you might not think you're a good singer, or hey, but we're not asking you to sing a solo. I'm just simply saying, if it's in here, I think the natural reaction to being blessed by God is that it comes out in the song. The Bible talks about how He'll give us a new song. And man, you may not bless anybody with a solo, but you can sing in the car by yourself. You can sing in the shower when the door's closed, man. I mean, you can sing in the congregation and blend right in. I'm just telling you, I think that that's what happens when you get squeezed a little. It just spills out. How about this? You pray it. I mean, it's one thing for me to tell you how good God's been to me, but you know who else I ought to be telling all the time? God Himself. I mean, don't you like to hear it when you've done something for somebody? Don't you like to hear Him say, hey, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's a blessing. I love it when I take my kids out to a meal or something. I say, thanks, Dad. That was a great meal. I really enjoyed that. Man, I love to hear that. You don't think our Heavenly Father loves to hear gratitude expressed to Him in prayers? Absolutely He does. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. Hey, here's another thought, and I'll say this in the next point too, but we need to write it. We need to write down and consider what God has done for us. So that's my final step here. Start with the heart, move to the mouth, and then step number three, finish with the feet. Finish with the feet. By that, what I mean by that is put your gratitude, put your thanksgiving into action. It should come out in your demeanor. It should come out in your conduct. It should just come out in practical ways. And so let me give you some real quick and we'll get out of here tonight. Number one, intentionally tell someone you're grateful for them. You know, it's one thing to think that, and I think you can think it and feel it, but you got to express it to them. What I mean by that is put some feet to the way you feel. So here's some practical ways you can do that. You can just send a text. It doesn't take long. You know, we talk sometimes follow the impulse of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit puts somebody on your mind that's been a blessing to you, hey, get that phone out that you're always attached to anyway and just text it. Hey, I just want to tell you, I thank God for you. You don't think that couldn't brighten somebody's day? Just to hear somebody tell, hey, I really appreciate you. You've been a blessing in my life, and I want you to know what you mean to me. Hey, listen, don't wait till somebody's dead for you to wish you had the opportunity to tell them that you appreciate them. They've been a blessing to you in your life. Send them a text. Send them an email. Hey, here's a novel idea. Sit down with a pen and paper and write a note and mail it to them. Wow. You say, I can't afford a $272 stamp. I know, but maybe you just hand it to them at church or whatever, you know? I mean, write them a note. Put some feet to it. C.S. Lewis, a lot of you know that name. He felt it was, here's what he called it, the balanced and capricious minds who found it easiest to praise others, while it is the misfits and malcontents who find it the hardest to offer praise and thanks to others or to God. Isn't that something? I liked that quote. Somebody has a balanced and capricious mind. They find it easy to praise somebody. Man, you did a good job. Man, that was awesome. I really appreciate you. Man, that's fantastic. But it's the malcontents and the misfits that have nothing good to say to anybody or anybody else. You know that happens. It's so much easier for us to find fault than it is to give praise. And if we're going to finish with the feet, we're going to have to be squeezed in such a way that we're so overflowing with thanksgiving that it's just second nature. It's easy for us to compliment and praise and express thanksgiving. Put some feet to it. Here's the second thing. Write thank you notes for intentional acts of kindness shown to you. Again, I refer to C.S. Lewis. After World War II, Britain had fallen on some terrible economically hard times. And C.S. Lewis, who was real popular for his writings, began receiving gifts from Americans. I mean, they would send him food, send him all kinds of things in the mail. And he took it upon himself. Here's this great author that many people respect and admire. And he became a prolific thank you note writer. And here's what he once described, these thank you notes. Could you imagine? You don't even know this guy. You send him some food across the land. He writes you a handwritten thank you note. And he was real flowery in his language about him. I read some of the example notes that he had written. And he once described giving these thank you notes and expressing thanks through writing notes. He said this, it's inner health made audible. Inner health made audible. That's a pretty good thought. Hey, listen, if somebody does something that's a blessing to you, I mean, write it down. Send them a thank you note. Express it to them. Here's another thought. Journal. When you journal, it'll help you be intentional and perspective. Now, I have to admit, I don't personally journal. It's not something that I've gotten into, but I'm telling you, in my research, in every case, if they want to talk to you about being stronger mentally, having stronger and sounder mental health, expressing your gratitude, in every case, people put down journaling. Now, I will tell you this, while I don't journal, one thing that I do personally is just, share some ideas with you, putting some feet to it, is I do in my prayer list, I use an acronym in my prayer list, P-R-A-Y. P for praise, R for repent, A for ask, Y for yield. And I walk through that. And I try to, in the last 24 hours, I want to think specifically of something God has done for me. And I literally write those down and express them to God. I'm just simply saying, I think that there's something healthy to be putting feet to your thankfulness. Writing it down. How about this? Buy a gift for someone. How about this? Perform an act of kindness for someone. The point I'm trying to make is this right here, and I'm closing. If your heart is grateful, your mouth is expressing it. And if your heart is grateful and your mouth is expressing it, your life is showing it. So I like that. Start with the heart, move to the mouth, finish with the feet. So I want to ask you a question tonight, a couple questions really. Question number one is this, would you say that your life is overflowing with thanksgiving? I mean, when you're squeezed, is that what comes out? When somebody bumps into you, is that what comes out? I mean, because you really see what somebody's made of when they're bumped into. I mean, man, I've heard people before, something foul comes out of their mouth and they go, oh, I'm sorry, that's not me. Oh, yes, it is. You got squeezed and that's what came out. I've seen people, as soon as they didn't get what they wanted, came out. And then they got squeezed, they got bumped into, and so that's... But what happens when you're bumped into, when you're squeezed? Does thankfulness and thanksgiving, is that what just seems to spill out over. I don't know you about you, but that's what I want. That's what I want. Second set of questions is this. What steps do you need to take to develop such a life of gratitude? Do you need to start with the heart? Do you need tonight to just say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way, if there be any ingratitude in me. Oh, God, help my heart to truly be grateful and thankful." Do you need to move to the mouth? Maybe you feel it, but you never really express it. Maybe there's somebody tonight you need to call, you need to text, you need to catch up with, and you need to tell them, "Hey, listen, I appreciate you. I love you. I thank God for you. You've been a blessing to me." Maybe there's somebody you need to tell them that you love them. You got to move to the mouth. Maybe it's our Heavenly Father that's where you need to start with. Maybe you need to start singing His praises, and you need to start expressing it in prayer, and you need to be telling others about the goodness of God. Maybe that's where we need to go. And then lastly, maybe we need to finish with the feet. Maybe there's some act of kindness that you need to do. Maybe you need to start thinking of ways, how can I practically live a thankful and grateful life? I hope this year of Thanksgiving, that because we've been rooted and grounded in our faith, that we will abound with thanksgiving.